Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I'm your host, Thomas Gibbons, founder of WindyCityChronicle.com. Another year, another NFL draft has gone by. As always, exciting times in the NFL offseason, one of the biggest nights of the NFL calendar year. Always exciting to find out who your team is going to get, who's going to fall to you, who's going to go higher than expected. It's always a good weekend, a good 3 days of fun. Another year for Ryan Pace. Ryan Pace is now, it's now his fourth draft class as the general manager of the Chicago Bears. Another interesting draft class at that. You know, in the past, he's gone a little bit more of, I'd say, project guys, especially at the top of the draft. But this year, he got right away three guys in the first three picks that are possibly day one starters and probable day one starters, if that. So a lot to be excited about for Bears fans. A lot to be excited about. As we go along here, I'll try and keep you updated with the undrafted free agent signings as that continues to roll in. That is always the biggest buzz right after the draft concludes, getting all the guys that fell out of the draft. Bears always do plenty of homework on those guys because you know they're more camp bodies, guys that are possibly going to make the team. And you know it's always a good chance one of those guys doesn't make the team, and you know taking a good run at him. And a lot of these guys Bears have brought in for interviews or private workouts, so they're familiar and they're willing to give the guys a shot. Right now, the Bears have seven undrafted free agents signed. Running back Ryan Nall from Oregon State. Edge rusher Elijah Norris from Shepherd. Offensive tackle Dejon Allen from Hawaii. DB Nick Orr from TCU. Edge Andrew Trumbetti from Notre Dame. And DB Michael Joseph from Dubuque. So that's seven. Obviously, the number's going to get bigger. A lot of guys they can invite, especially to rookie minicamp. So we'll see a lot more of those. But let's get to the point of the podcast. Breaking down the Bears draft class. Looks to be another promising draft class. I'm happy. A lot of Bears fans are happy. There was really not a lot of head scratching picks. You could see why Ryan Pace drafted them based on need, based on best player available. Obviously the first head scratcher came when they picked Joel Ayagubiwi. I'm not going to even try and say that. But the guy from Western Kentucky, who he told reporters over a conference call to call him Iggy. So we're going to go with that throughout the show and probably throughout his tenure with the Bears. But he was like probably the first head scratcher, if you want to say, who is this guy? Why did the Bears pick him, especially in the fourth round where they could have gone maybe edge, wide receiver on the board, plenty of wide receivers on the board. But, you know, who knows what he's going to develop into. But breaking down the draft, we'll start at the top. Obviously, the big pick Thursday night was Roquan Smith out of Georgia. A lot of fans first, their first guy on their wish list was obviously Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame. Big, fast, very athletic guard. He has a great highlight tape for a guard. Guards don't have the big catches or the big touchdown throws, but they got, you know, pancakes and just, you know, crazy blocks, you know, huge blocks, huge pancakes. You know, it was great to watch what Quentin Nelson could do last year. And when you break down the tape, so much more plays come out of it. The one that comes to mind right away for me is when they were playing, forgot who they were playing, but he literally picked up a safety and threw him to the ground. So just the power, the willingness to dominate his opponent is what really stuck out on his film, on everybody's evaluations of Quentin Nelson. It's hard to find weaknesses. It really is. And when looking at a guy like Nelson or, you know, a lot of the guys in the top part of the draft, you know, they have so many pros you know, so much that, you know, teams, you know, drool over and really want them, that it's, you know, it's hard to find the cons. But, you know, always you can say adjusting to the NFL level, you know, obviously a basic con or a basic thing to focus on when it gets to the next level. But they're the Bears where they were sitting at 8. They stayed put. They took Roquan Smith, linebacker out of Georgia, 6'1", 236, 4.51 40 dash. There was no, he didn't bench reps. There was no other really specific drills. But an impressive 40 dash. You know, first thing you watch on film with Smith is his speed of the football, his, you know, willingness to make the play. He's a sideline-to-sideline player. He's going to chase you down. He's great in space. He's a leader. Everyone likes to talk about his leadership. He delivers a blow at the point of contact. He's a playmaker. He's going to drop back in coverage and own the middle of the field. And he's got a, you know, as everyone talks about, he's got a lot to live up to, especially when you look back at linebackers in the Bears system over history, Buck, Urlacher, Singletary. You know, they're looking at Smith to be the next great linebacker of the Bears, and he definitely can be that. He definitely can. 236, he's definitely undersized if the Bears wanted to put him on the outside and rush the passer. But not saying he's probably going to do that rarely. You know, it's not his everyday job. He's going to man the middle of the 3-4 defense with Danny Trevathan, and he's going to command that defense. And everyone's going to be hyped because of him. He's going to bring energy to that defense. He's going to create a culture on that defense. You know, it's going to be very exciting to watch Roquan Smith play for the Chicago Bears. Amazing pick by Pace. He was the best linebacker in the draft. He was the best guy on the board when the Bears picked. And, you know, if Nelson fell to the Bears, it'd be really interesting if the Bears would have picked Nelson or Roquan Smith. And, you know, my gut would say Smith, just because guard has never been that true value position, just like safety. You know, the reason safeties don't go that high is because they're not valued as much as corner. You know, Denzel Ward went 4, but Mika Fitzpatrick fell all the way out of the top 10 to 11 to the Dolphins. So it's not that value pick that other positions are. So, you know, it would have been really interesting if Smith and Nelson were both there at 8, but I really felt that the Bears would go linebacker no matter what. And it seemed like that, too, when Pace addressed the media. I think Adam Johns from the Sun-Times said something about that, you know, they were just so excited about Smith, so, you know, keyed in on the linebacker position or, you know, getting a defensive player, that Nelson might have not been the pick at 8 if he was there. Roquan Smith, he's going to be a leader. He's going to be a force. And a very humble kid, too. You know, it seemed like in his interview and his time on the radio and time with the media after he got picked, you know, team player. He's ready to go. He's going to bring, you know, when they ask, what are you going to bring to Chicago? They're, you know, you're getting a relentless player. You're getting a leader. So he you know, he's ready to go. As everybody that got drafted is dream come true. So that was the story of the night. Of course, on Thursday, the Bears getting Roquan Smith, the best linebacker in the draft. And now when you look at the defense for the Bears, you got Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan, Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, Leonard Floyd, Prince Amukamara, Adrian Amos, Eddie Jackson, Aaron Lynch, Kyle Fuller. You know, you're starting to see the building blocks of what was there last year and now this year, of the true makings of what could be a really good defense in the NFL. I know last year they finished in the top 10 in total yards allowed. So, again, they've been improving every year. It was big to get Vic Fangio back. You know, a lot of people said getting Vic back was like getting Vic back was huge. It was like drawing a blank here, trying to compare them. I'll think of it in a minute. But Vic Fangio, obviously, getting him back. When you fire a head coach, the whole staff leaves with him. That's it. Buddy Ryan. I was drawing a blank. It's like, you know, everyone made the comparison when Vic Fangio came back. It was like Buddy Ryan coming back for the 85 Bears. You know, it's, you know, not necessarily did the players maybe petition for Vangio to come back, but it just had the feeling a little bit of it, of him coming back compared to when Vic came back. You're getting the leader of the defense back, your defensive coordinator. Everyone seems to like Vic Fangio. He brings out the best in you. So getting him back was huge. Again, if you want to keep that, you know, top defense up. And his staff came back too. I mean, that was huge. That does that. That's a rarity, I'd say, in the NFL, especially when you lose the head coach, usually the whole staff departs, because a lot of those guys will get picked up somewhere else, or the head coach, like Nagy, wants to bring in his whole staff. Vic Fangio was going to be, he was probably a hot market name for, you know, head coaching jobs. But obviously he came back to Chicago, and that was a great pickup for the Bears and a great pickup for the defense as a whole. So yeah, like the players listed, the Bears defense has a chance to be really special. And the offense has had a lot of weapons too. We'll get to that in a minute, but you know, it seems like the Bears are putting it all together. I know we've said that in the past and we've seen poor results. But you have a new coach, a new philosophy. You know, when Nagy's all about this be obsessed, you know, there's a new mindset, there's a new tone, there's a new feel at Halas Hall. And I know we went through this with Trestman and John Fox about this new feel. You know, it's good to hear a new voice, but, you know, hopefully something's different this time. Hopefully, you know, we finally turn the corner in Chicago. Going away from defense, the Bears... first of two second-round picks, James Daniels out of Iowa. Center at Iowa, 6'3", 306, 21 reps at 225 bench press at the combine. Ryan Pace said right away, as many thought, Daniels is going to play guard in the NFL for the Bears, but he's also going to train. He's going to side train as center, too. So if needed, he could play there. He was maybe the best center in the class. He fell to the second round, which many thought he wouldn't. And, you know, I'm sure the Bears were happy that he fell to him. There was very little contact between Daniels and the Bears. And, you know, of course, you're always surprised when you get the phone call that you're getting drafted to the NFL. But Daniels couldn't be happier. Couldn't be happier to come to the Bears. Excuse me. He's going to fit right in. The Bears needed a guard. They needed a guard or center, depending if they were going to bump over Cody Whitehair to guard. But he's going to stay center, and Daniels is going to play guard opposite of Kyle Long. So you're looking at a probable opening day lineup of Whitehair at center, Daniels and Long at the guards, and then Leno at your left tackle. Right tackle is probably Bobby Massey. Massey's entering the last year of his deal, but he's been solid. So maybe he'll get another – looking at probably getting another run at the starter position. He's a finisher. Daniels is relentless. He's going to finish blocks. I coach O-line at the high school level. I've watched a little bit of his film. Does very well in double teams, especially getting off to the linebacker. He's got speed where he can climb up to the second level and be efficient. So obviously it was a good pick. He's obviously going to need a little work. He's going to add some more to his frame. But the Bears got a really... really solid lineman in James Daniels. He's going to be a guard. He's going to train a little bit as a center. But exciting pick. You know, it was an underrated pick. You know, everyone's not hooting and hollering over a guard being taken. Everyone loves the wide receiver, the pass rusher, the linebacker. But if you would call it that underrated pick by Ryan Pace, the Bears now have another possible plug-and-play starter in round two of the draft. You would think, I would hope so, that with his dominance at the college level and what he is going to develop here in the next few months, that he is your starting guard opposite Kyle Long come week one. Great run blocker. He's a great zone blocker, a lot of zone at Iowa. And the Bears ran a lot of zone last year, a lot of zone in Nagy's offense. So he really should excel, and it really should be, you know, a great year for the backs, for Howard and Cohen and Cunningham behind that old line. It really shapes up to be something special. And if Kyle Long can stay healthy, that's really a big thing, because, you know, if Long were to get hurt again, you're looking You know, what are you going to do? Are you, you know, Daniels is going to train as a center, but, you know, is he going to move over to center? Is Whitehair going to stay there? Are you going to just going to play Cush? You know, and really, you really got to be healthy. This whole Bears roster does. We know injuries have been a problem in the past. But Kyle Long's really got to, he's got to stay healthy for this whole line to shape out how we want it to here in April, how we envision it come September. The Bears did not have a third-round pick. Many thought that they could use some of their force, maybe some later picks or a future pick to trade back into the third round, but Ryan Pace had other plans. Ryan Pace has not been afraid to be aggressive in the draft, whether it's moving down to get more picks, moving up to get the guy he wants, moved up for Trubisky, moved up for Leonard Floyd, and then he moved up for the wide receiver out of Memphis, Anthony Miller. Anthony Miller, 5'11", 201 pounds. He's quick, man. His routes are nasty. His double moves, if you just search his name up on Twitter right now, you'll get his one move, his one double move versus UCF, you know, nasty stuff. He was a former walk-on. I mean, that's a great story, just like Baker Mayfield. You know, guys that worked their way up and proved themselves, and now they're first and second round picks in the NFL draft. That's something that tells you a lot about the work ethic and the willingness to get better. He had back-to-back 1,400-yard seasons at Memphis. Excellent route runner. He's going to fit right in the Nagy system. He's going to really flourish in RPOs. I truly believe it. When you're talking about quick screens, rocket laser screens, you know, again, yeah, wide receiver screens, bubble screens, quick routes, slants, you know, quick routes in the RPO system, I think he's going to do really well. Jet, reverse, other things to consider for him. But another thing is they can say Miller can play outside or inside. So maybe you'll see him out wide. He'll be in the slot. So I think he brings that versatility. And there was one you know weird thing that happened during the pre-draft process. Miller posted on Instagram him in the Chicago O'Hare Airport as he got off the plane, and that was shortly deleted. I think that's part of Ryan Pace's secrecy. Like no one really knew that about Trubisky and the Bears. He didn't want anyone to know about Miller. You know, it's a big secret, and it's a reason for it. You know, the Bears were able to climb up and get their guy. Many are like, who are they climbing up to get? You know, I thought they were climbing up to get maybe Lorenzo Carter or something, you know, a pass rusher, but they got another wide receiver. They got Miller. And it should be a good pick. He was one of the better guys in the draft class. A lot of people had him behind, like, Calvin Ridley's and DJ Moore's of the world. They had him higher than maybe some other guys, like, you know, Kirk or Sutton. You know, they really liked his upside. His game is going to hopefully translate really well to the NFL. Again, RPO, he's going to be very active in the RPO systems, quick screens, rocket laser screens, bubbles. I really think that's where he's going to do a lot of his damage. And then, you know, he's going to stretch the field. It's going to be another downfield threat for Trubisky. Now Miller joins what is already a solid group of wide receivers in Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel. And then Trey Burton as your kind of flex tight end wide receiver. Whatever Kevin White amounts to, if Kevin White can be productive, then you have yourself a nice group of receivers here. And then whatever Benny Fowler, Marlon Brown, Josh Bellamy ever can give you. The Bears aren't going to carry 8 or 9 receivers. They're probably going to carry at least 6. So it's going to be a battle, especially at the bottom of the depth chart. But Miller's a for sure lock for the roster, I'll tell you that. So, I mean, that could be a really dangerous group of wide receivers if everyone pans out and everyone lives up to their potential, lives up to their contracts. So I was very happy. I was surprised that the Bears climbed up and got Miller. I didn't know who they were coming for, but very solid pick, very exciting pick. The Bears had to address wide receiver, and they did. And then, like I said in the beginning of the show, the first head-scratcher came. Joel E.Y. Goobie-Way. Iggy. That's what he wants people to call him. That's how, you know, it's easy on them. So we'll do that. 6'1", 229, 4'6", 40. He's going to play inside linebacker. Everyone thought right away, is he going to play outside? No. He's undersized. He's not going to put on that much weight where he's going to be an effective pass rusher. He's going to play inside. He had 11.5 tackles for loss and 3 forced fumbles last season. when you get to the bottom of the round, these guys are going to have to contribute on special teams if they want to be on the active roster come game day and overall be on the roster. We could see them in certain packages, nickel dime, kind of stuff like that. There was some stuff floating around, like, are they going to try and move into safety? I'm sure as Ryan Pace meets the media, not sure if he's meeting the media right now, but I'm sure he'll address that. I'm sure that's going to come up the question. But he very well could. Another unrestricted free agent here just came up. Niles Morgan from Notre Dame. I believe he's a corner. I'll check on that for you guys and get back to you. I'll check on that. Again, follow me on Twitter at @ThomasGibbons_3. I'll have all the Bears news for the rest of the night. I'll try and keep up with these unrestricted free agents. It does get pretty hectic because, you know, teams are racing to get the guy, like, ooh, you brought the guy in for an interview. We liked him. He's available. Let's go get him. So it's a very hectic night and probably morning as all the guys fly into the teams and whatever, but try and keep up with the unrestricted free agent here as I'm doing the show. But again, back to Iggy, linebacker from Western Kentucky. Like I said, he's probably going to be a package guy. He could probably rush the passer at times. Again, he had a couple sacks during his time at Western Kentucky. So, you know, nothing too special there if you were really looking for the outside pass rush, but he's not going to be doing that. Two more guys added to the unrestricted and undrafted free agent list for the Bears. Punter Ryan Winslow from Pittsburgh. I guess just another camp punter. I mean, if you push his Pat O'Donnell's job, then maybe he'll get the spot. Linebacker Miles Morgan from Notre Dame is a linebacker. So, again, Bears doing their homework on all fronts. So, back to Iggy real fast. I have a friend who goes to Western Kentucky, went to all the home games. He was a big part of their defense, a leader on the defense. A lot to like about his game. Maybe he'll develop into a starter one day. I don't know. Again, another point by Adam Johns was that he posed the question, is Iggy pushing Danny Trevathan's spot? Because Trevathan was a Fox guy. Is Pace looking to push out the guys from the old regime? I do not think that's the case. Interesting point, though, brought up by Johns. But I don't know if Iggy's going to be ready to start week one. It looks like he's going to need some work, especially with fighting off blocks and stuff like that. You know, the very common things when you're coming to the NFL level. But I think Trevathan is the guy for the job, especially at least this year. Because Trevathan always has problems staying healthy. But if healthy, you got a healthy Roquan Smith and a healthy Danny Trevathan. Ooh, watch out, man. That's some scary stuff. But that's what I got for Iggy. Next guy, Delaware. Matt Nagy's alma mater, Bilal Nicholas, D-tackle, 6'4", 306, 4.95, 40-dash. Big man can move, man. Big man can move. 29 reps at 225, strong guy. Watching a little bit of tape, quick hands. He's got plenty of power, point of attack. 5.5 sacks last season, so he's going to be able to rush the passer a little bit. That's good for, again, Mitch Unrein departed during the offseason, so Nicholas, he'll probably be the backup role. He could see some time if he really improves and develops. He could be part of that rotation. I could see it totally, especially if you're investing, you know, a pick in him. You see some upside. Seems to improve on, though. Definitely, I'd probably say, you know, pad level. This is coming from NFL.com. High pad level. Pass rush moves, you know, basic stuff, you know, technique stuff that he'll get better on. My first thought when he came, I saw Delaware, I thought Nagy right away. Nagy's got to have some ties to the Delaware program, some friends. You know, they obviously probably did their homework, attended the pro day, of course, just to see what they could get out of there. And they got Nicholas. Mike Mayock on NFL Network also had some very nice praise for Nicolas and said he should translate fine to the pros, rotational guy. Not, you know, and you can't say he's going to be a starter just yet, just like a lot of these bottom round guys are. But he could definitely rotate in with Hicks and the Goldmans of the world. Some info on him from NFL.com. A lightly recruited tight end, defensive end, Nicolas has grown into an athletic defensive tackle during his time with the Fighting Blue Hens. He played in 12 games as a reserve his true freshman season, 19 tackles, 2 for loss. And this year, Nicolas was moved. Hold on. Nicolas, he started 9 starts in 10 games, 25 tackles, 7.5 for loss, 5 sacks, 5 pass breakups. He was moved to the first team of his conference. He also had an interception this year and a block kick. So he's got stats all over the board. But Mayock said he could develop into a very nice rotational piece for the Bears. A lot of good games, a lot of bad games. Other strengths, can spin out of down blocks, flashes hand quickness that coaches can work with. And then you look at some weaknesses. Will stutter step and try to set up moves that don't land. Needs to see more jolt of the initial punch. So, you know, technique stuff, working with hand stuff. Hopefully he can be a nice piece for the Bears going forward. And I didn't know about him until I did my research. But if the Bears are high on him, I guess I'm high on him too. So we'll see how that goes. And then Kylie Fitz from Utah was a 6th-round pick. One of my writers, Johnny Hotlock, on WayneCityChronicle.com, likes him a lot. Injury is his main concern. He's 6'4", 263, so he's got really good size to be an outside linebacker in the NFL, really good size. But he's been hurt the past 2 seasons. He played in 1 game in 16, I believe, in 17. He played in, like, 8. So injury has slowed him down a little bit. His sophomore season, though, he went healthy. He had 7 sacks in 2015. So again, he has a lot of great tape from the 2015 season. And it kind of fell off after that. But this was the Bears' answer to adding depth to their outside linebacker position. They got Fitz in the 6th round, a good value pick. If he really pans out, you get him at a 6th round payday. Solid pass rush. He's good pursuit down the line. He's gonna contribute on special teams. This is going to be another project for Vic Fangio, just like guys like Bullard and Robinson Harris were. Fitz has experience with his hand on the ground and standing up on the edge, so that's good for the Bears as well. Again, I did not know much about Fitz, but Johnny educated us, and Johnny likes him a lot. One thing that he pointed out was he had the same 3-cone drill as Harold Landry from Boston College. So as much as you want to look into that, 3-cone drills, you can. I like the combine. I'm a big numbers guy. Again, 40 dash, bench reps. I know that's what the NFL is. A lot of top 10 picks. Everybody is all about the tangibles. You know, the speed, the quickness, the strength. You're drafting upside, especially Ryan Pace. You know, he likes freak athletes, upside. So Fitz definitely has a lot of upside. Again, if he can stay healthy, then he can definitely be a nice rotation this year. Right now, the Bears, you're looking at on the roster, Leonard Floyd, Sam Acho, Aaron Lynch, Isaiah, Howard Jones, and then Isaiah, last name. Isaiah Irvin, who had 3 sacks in the preseason last year. So Irvin, Howard Jones, Lynch, Floyd, Acho, and now Fitz. Obviously, the Bears are going to probably bring in some undrafted free agents to try and fill the depth. But again, there was also talk of maybe the Bears bring back Lamar Houston or Willie Young just to fill the depth. Because the Bears obviously still do need it, especially if Fitz does not grow to where he could be a rotational guy come the start of the season. So defensive end is outside linebacker is definitely a position to keep watching as they sign guys. And then getting guys during camp, or especially, you know, I think it'd be very interesting, just like when the Bears got Josh Shitton off the final cuts, looking at guys that get cut outside linebacker-wise come final cuts, trimming down to the 53-man roster, Bears could steal a guy there. But that's way, way ahead. That's a long time from now. But just something to, put back in mind. And then lastly, Bears finished out the NFL draft by taking Javon Wims, wide receiver from Georgia. Another Georgia Bulldog to the Bears. Dogs becoming monsters. I like that sentence. I hope you do too. 6'3", 215. Yes, he's bigger than Allen Robinson. Weight-wise. And he plays big. Man, he plays big. Big body. Goes up and gets the ball. Just as good as anyone in this class. He's a downfield threat. One thing, if you key in on his film or key in on his evaluation, that he's very good ball skills and just the back shoulder throw, when targeted, especially if you're trying to look back shoulder, he's gonna come through. Let's see, improving prospect with good size and great ball skills, but lacks the suddenness and law and speed. He created a highlight reel full of impressive catches in 17. But he will have to prove he can free himself from press corners looking to jam his release and squat on underneath routes. Wims has the size and tools to work with, but he'll need to play to his size and continue to improve as a route runner. He has the potential to earn a spot at a wide receiver 4 or 5 as a pro. So we're not looking at a wide receiver 2 or 3. We're looking at a guy who's hopefully going to develop over the course of the offseason into training camp. For a guy that big, it looks like strength may be an issue. If you're looking to get off press coverage, whether that comes to chopping hands, hitting hands at the line of scrimmage, or just overpowering his defender, route running is gonna have to be worked on as well. 4.35 40-yard dash, 33.5 vertical jump, and a 7-second cone drill, 3-cone drill, and 113-inch on the broad jump. Looking at strength, excels on back shoulder throws. He's a hands catcher, not a pad catcher. Makes adjustments to win catch positioning. So big body, he's going to go up and get it. Turn on some of his film, as I already have. He's got some impressive stuff, but a lot of stuff to work on. Again, highlight films don't show at all, especially not the weaknesses, getting off the line of scrimmage. There's no guarantee Wims is going to make the roster either. 7th round pick can easily be let go. He's going to have to cover kicks, cover punts to be on the roster. But again, another upside guy that's going to be a project for the offense, as a lot of these late round guys are. They're projects. They're hopefully guys that can turn into rotational players or, you know, find their niche on the team. You know, when you're talking about niches on a team, you're looking at Josh Bellamy, he's going to give you something at wide receiver, but not a lot. But he's going to give you everything he has on special teams. He's going to make plays on kicks. He's going to make tackles on punts. Cher McManus has made a living in the NFL by blocking field goals, covering kicks, and covering punts. McManus just got paid a couple million dollars for 2 years, another 2 years for the Bears. He's the only guy left from the Lovie Smith era. He's made it through all these regimes because of his heart, his leadership on special teams, his character in the locker room, and he's made a living in the NFL on covering kicks. I mean, it's hard to do. It's a tough living. It sounds like a tough living. You're not getting a lot of spotlight. You're not getting a lot of play time on the offense defense. I mean, last year he had a block kick for the Steelers, so he got some praise there. But he's just been one of those guys that comes in every day and, you know, hard hat, lunch pail. You know, he's gonna give you all he has on special teams, and that's something that a lot of the young players can look up to, especially a guy like Wims or Fitz if they're gonna be helping out on special teams. But yeah, you gotta help out on special teams if you want to rank the roster. It's a way to be noticed. It's a way to develop. We tell this to our high school guys all the time. You make a play on special teams, you're gonna get noticed. You're gonna get a shot at your position on offense or defense. That's how you get noticed. That's how a lot of guys, you know, can get play time if they're effort on special teams. And that's how a lot of guys can really change the game on special teams, you know, especially at the high school, college level, covering kicks, make it, forcing a fumble, you know, recovering a muff punt. You know, there's a lot of little things that you can do to get noticed and get on the field. So that about wraps it up. That was my, you know, quick eval of all the guys drafted by the Bears. You're looking at Miller, Daniels, and Smith as probable day one starters, guys that are going to impact right away. Where Iggy, Nicholas, Fitz, and Wims are nice pieces. They got a lot of upside, and they can find roles, or what I said, their niche on the team. But they're going to need some work. So, again, thanks for tuning in. This was just a quick breakdown of the Bears draft class. I will be posting my grades along with some evaluation on Windy City Chronicle probably tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, around there. So make sure to check that out. I'll be doing grades evaluation. Johnny Hotlock is going to be doing all the film breakdown. And then our new guy, too, Kyle Raw, will be also contributing. Brendan McMahon will also have some stuff on the Bears draft. So we're going to have a lot of coverage as a whole on WindyCityChronicle.com. I'm excited to get going. I'm excited to get more into these draft prospects. You know, I've only scratched the surface of what these guys are on film and what these guys can be. A lot of guys have done their homework. I'm going to do more homework and really get into these guys and really see what the Bears drafted and, you know, see how this draft class is going to pan out compared to other guys with pace. A lot of upside, a lot of excitement. This offseason, as many have in the past, have a different feel. You know, it's a new coach, young quarterback. You know, we got the best wide receiver in free agency, Allen Robinson. We got the best linebacker in the draft, Roquan Smith. You know, the Bears have been getting better. The wins and losses don't show it, but the defense was top 10 last year. The offense made strides at the end of the year, sort of. You know, when Trubisky got in there and made some plays. Tariq Cohen really picked up the spot, really got the spotlight on him from his crazy punt return to, you know, what he can do in space, you know, catching, you know, having a huge home opener, season opener right away, just caught the eyes of many fans. Adam Shaheen, he played well versus the Bengals in that Bengals game. Show some stuff that he could be a reliable target for Trubisky. So a lot to like about, you know, last year's draft class and the previous draft class. And overall, Pace has drafted well. You know, Pace was a scouting guy for the Saints. So he has, that's his expertise, you could say, is finding guys in the draft. Finding those guys that might be diamonds in the rough but can pan out, like Tariq Cohen. I mean, you're drafting a guy from North Carolina A&T. Why don't you go get a guy from Bama or Georgia or Ohio State? No, you got a guy from North Carolina A&T who is a tiny little dude, but, you know, tiny little dudes can flourish in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So, again, Bears 2018 draft is over. Mm-hmm. Another impressive class, another class that looks to have a lot of upside. And the Bears, and that something the Bears can work with. Thanks for tuning in. This has been another edition of the Windy City Chronicle podcast, breaking down the 2018 Chicago Bears draft class. I am Thomas Gibbons, founder of WindyCityChronicle.com. Make sure to check up on all our Bears coverage, the Bears draft, looking ahead to camp, all etc. on WindyCityChronicle.com in the coming weeks and months.